Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
We will make America safe again. And we will make America great again. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. What a great victory for everybody. Thank you, America. Thank you very much.
Ah, that was the end of the president's speech last night at the Capital One Arena there in Washington, D.C. The village people came out and joined him on stage, and he did the Trump dance, and it was quite a celebration for those lucky enough to get inside. Can you imagine what security is like in Washington, D.C. right now? I mean, not just for the village people, because they're big stars as well, but I mean just in general. We know they've had gates up, they've had drones flying overhead for a while now, and you can just imagine that there are a lot of puckered people in Washington, D.C. today, given the fact that the inauguration will go on. It'll just be inside the Capitol Rotunda. If you missed our conversation earlier with Congressman Bob Onder, you know, he's a member of Congress. There are 535 of them. The rotunda holds at most 600 when it doesn't have a stage and all that stuff in it. So they think they're going to be lucky to fit 500 people in there today. There may be Democrats who have no interest in going. I don't know. But none of them can bring spouses, the VIPs. It's going to be a crowded situation. There's no doubt about that. But that security issue popped up, and I thought, you know, I know somebody that could talk to us about that. How about Chief Steve Lewis from the city of Ellisville, who just spent quite a bit of time. I don't know if you would call that a sentence or what, but you just spent a few months in D.C., didn't you, Steve?
Yeah, I did. I spent a little over 6 months. Literally at FBI headquarters, and then my lodging was a block and a half from Capital One.
Wow. Wow. So I heard there were people lined up for almost three quarters of a mile yesterday down the street from Capital One, just trying to get in, standing in the rain. And, of course, that means that the security people had to be out there standing in the rain. And, I mean, D.C. has just got to – my guess is they've never seen anything quite like this.
No, I think number one is national special security events go. This is the largest probably in our country's history, number one. Number two, there are, you know, numerous active threats against the incoming president. And so based on that, the level of security is most definitely going to be unprecedented.
So do you think a security threat is really the reason why Trump's team decided to move this inside? Or do you think it truly is the cold weather like they're telling everyone?
No, I actually think it's the cold weather. I did have people contact me and tell me that they were throwing the flag on that one and saying they thought it was security related. But, you know, with the weather being what it is, they already have the assets in place. They have already mobilized a number of, you know, 25 plus thousand law enforcement and military people. The assets were in place, and changing it at that last minute actually creates a little bit more of some security concerns, because you have to change the playbook, right? They've been planning this. When I was in D.C., I think in July is when we started, or the Bureau started their Emergency Operations Center planning phase for this. Secret Service obviously worked on it much longer. So, no, I think that it's definitely weather-related.
Yeah, interesting. We're talking to Steve Lewis, the chief in Ellisville, who just spent a bunch of time in D.C. And you probably, I'm guessing, I'm not throwing names out, you probably know a bunch of the people who are on the ground, and you probably worked with some of those people when you were there in D.C. getting ready for this thing. What are some of the unique challenges to an event like this with, it, with this number of people?
Yeah, number one is just what you said, that number of people, right? You have to have physical barriers, so you're going to have to get those people to go where you want them to go and not go where you want them to go. So just putting out the physical barriers alone, and I think you reported on that several times, the amount of fencing and street closures, road closures, public transport closures. Then you've got technical barriers. You know, a big part of this is going to be done with security that people never see. So putting in place all of those devices that are necessary, and a lot of those are classified, but at the end of the day, just the equipment, and then putting together the bodies, the number of people. Think about it, 25,000 extra people in D.C. on top of the hundreds of thousands of other people, and all of a sudden you've got a logistical nightmare.
Because of the level of threats we've seen, the assassination attempts with Trump, do you think his presidency will look different in the sense that anytime he's doing an outdoor speaking event, and maybe this has been with past presidents, but anytime he does an outdoor speaking event, you would have the barrier between him and the audience, like little extra security steps that his team takes?
Yeah, I do believe that's in place. So I'm also a graduate of the Secret Service Dignitary Protection Seminar that I took in Washington, D.C. several years ago. And so I got a peek behind the curtain, so to speak. And while the Secret Service has taken criticism and, you know, maybe some of it was founded in the planning phase, right now I'm going to tell you he's going to be the most protected man on the planet.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, the president can drive some of those features, though, and refuse certain things for sure. Now, he's close with his security team. I've heard that several times. He is very good to law enforcement. He appreciates the job they do. So he's going to have some input. I think it will be threat-based and dependent upon how far of a sight line can they protect. How can they control who gets in, who gets out? Inside events are going to be probably less concerning because you can control who comes in and really see who's bringing what. Outside events, yeah, I think you might see that. I mean, we have a president who's had two assassination attempts from domestic terror, I'm going to call it, and he's actually had state-sponsored terrorism that we know for a fact. It was released that, you know, there are countries that had plans to try and do something. That's a very serious threat.
Well, I guess he's not sitting on a beach in Delaware like Biden was, but he does play a lot of golf. Now, fortunately for him, most of those are at very exclusive private clubs, often his own.
Yeah. And when he does out, I mean, he's not going to stop. Look, Trump's Trump, right?
Yeah.
He's not going to stop being the man. What I think you will see is that those events, especially outdoor events, the level and span of control. And the reason I went to the Dignitary Protection Seminar with the Secret Service is my relationship with them when we had presidential visits and my work with helping them as a local law enforcement person. And so the Secret Service relies very heavily on local law enforcement. So the lift, whenever the president does things like that, truly goes down to the state and local law enforcement agencies, who then assign extra people, block roads, secure parking lots and perimeters. So all of that with President Trump is going to be at a next level, I believe.
Yeah. Chief Steve Lewis with us this morning. I know you're a member of the Police Chiefs Association. Are there any local members of law enforcement in D.C. this weekend? I know the call went out nationwide for people who wanted to volunteer.
Yeah, I believe that there are. I believe that, you know, from the federal side, from law enforcement St. Louis, there absolutely are. This is an all-call event. And, you know, from locals, at least at the state level, I believe we've sent some National Guardsmen there. Wow. There's probably law enforcement across the state that have traveled there. There is such a thing as too much as well, though. Again, they don't just want a body necessarily. They need people that are going to be able to effectively work within that environment. So they're probably starting with people a little bit closer, you know, to the event. Now, I know that states across the country, every state has sent someone to assist with this effort, though, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's great. Steve Lewis, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Always great to talk to you. Take care, and DJT Day, my friend.
DJT Day, that's right. We appreciate you. Thank you. Chief Steve Lewis there from the Ellsville PD. I knew he'd have some insight as to what was going on there in D.C. Just watching the live feeds here, Donald Trump and the former and once again future First Lady just left the Blair House where they were staying for a church service this morning. We're looking at downtown D.C. right now. It's snow covered. There's snow all down the middle of the mall there leading up to the Capitol building. Of course, nobody's going to be sitting out in that today, but there's a lot of people there, including my friend Charlie, who's going to call in here at the bottom of the hour. He was headed over to get in line, I believe, to get back in the Capitol One Center later today, post-inauguration, to get a chance to see and hear Donald Trump, because he got blocked out yesterday. Didn't get in.
Well, looked like the doors just opened, or at least that's what CNN is saying, that the doors to the arena have opened.
Oh, they're opening them early?
So it would be 8:15 D.C. time.
Okay.
So yeah. Maybe they opened at 8 o'clock. And I'm sorry, how long are we expecting the actual inauguration ceremony to last?
I don't know, 45 minutes?
I figured less than an hour.
I would guess. And
so maybe by 1 o'clock.
Well, at least they're not making Eastern people wait time. Outside. That makes sense. But of course, if they're inside, they're going to need services. They're going to probably be selling food, I would imagine. They're going to have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
At least they're letting people inside, so they'll know pretty quickly. We'll get a live update here, I think, in about 15 minutes from my friend Charlie, who's on the ground up there.
Get more at 971talk.com.